Well, I trust you had a good day today, and we are continuing this evening, second Sunday evening in our new series that we started, and that is Friends. And we looked last week at the first passage, and we saw that the importance of having a friend. Let's see. We were in Proverbs 18, but I can't find it. Oh, 18:24, and I said this is going to be really the basis of this whole series. A man that hath friends needs to do what? Must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So, to have friends, we must be friendly. And we saw two examples last week. We saw an example of a loyal, a good friend, and the benefit to his friend. And we saw the example of a bad friend, a wicked friend. Tonight, as we continue on, Andrew, the title of this one is The Value of Friends. The Value of Friends. And we're going to look at one proverb that has more references to friends than any of the rest of the 31. We're going to be looking at Proverbs 27. There are no less than 6 references to friends in that 27th proverb. Let's look to the Lord now. Thank you, Father, as we turn to your word. Thank you for this topic, and I pray that you would teach us. I pray, Lord, that you might have our hearts. We might learn of you. We might benefit from this time. In your name I pray and thank you. Amen. Proverbs 27. And the first of these 6 references that we see regarding friends is found in the 6th verse. Proverbs 27:6 tells us, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Well, if you were really my friend, you wouldn't be causing any wounds. Right? Well, sometimes it seems as though that's the attitude that we take, isn't it? That, well, I couldn't say such and such to him or her because they're my friend. But he or she really needs to hear it. Why do you share something? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul wrote to the Ephesians church and he said these words. He said, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth. You don't have to answer. You don't have to raise your hand. I want you to just think. If so-and-so is your friend, And there is a situation up ahead. Don't you think it should be the best thing as a friend of theirs that you speak the truth about that? Or do you just hide it under the covers? This word here, faithful, in verse 6, faithful, comes from a word which the root word means to build up or support. Faithful, supporting, building up, are the wounds of a friend. I really wish I didn't have to say this, but because you're my friend, I care for you, I love you, and I must speak these words because there is a problem up ahead here. There is something going on in your life, and it concerns me. And because it concerns me, as your friend, I must say something about it. Now, how many of you would agree that is a comfortable position to put yourself in? That's what I thought. That is not a comfortable position. We don't like to say things that we know someone we care about isn't really going to appreciate. But we care for them, and they need to hear it. Warren Wiersbe, years ago, put out a study Bible. And in his study Bible, he had this to say with regards to this particular verse. Friends and neighbors must be lovingly honest with one another. True friendship in the Lord cannot be built on deception, even if the truth hurts. It can never harm if it is given in love, as we saw in Ephesians 4:15. Better that we speak the truth in love, because the Spirit can use the truth and love to build character, while the devil uses lies and flattery to tear things down. Look at even what the rest of our verse is here. Faithful are the wounds, yeah? Sometimes what we say, it hurts. But we love them, we care for them, and we've shared it with them because they mean so much to us. But the rest of the verse says what? The kisses of an enemy are what? Deceitful. Here's the one that says, oh, I care too much for you, and I'm not going to say anything. I'll just talk about, you know, the good side, and we're just going to pretend. When you think of the kisses of an enemy that are deceitful, does anybody come to your mind? Huh? Judas, in the Garden of Gethsemane. One of the four Gospels, he went up and kissed the Lord on the cheek. Greetings, friend. Friend, nothing. He was there to betray him to the authorities. Mr. Wiersbe continues to go on saying, oh, just a second here. Remember, I mentioned that the devil uses lies and flattery to tear things down. Proverbs 29:5, note taker, says, "A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet." But he's flattering him. "Oh, what a good Joe you are." Yeah, he doesn't mean it. We go on here. He who, notice in verse 23 of chapter 28, "He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue." If you lovingly have had the courage to tell that one what they need to hear, when it's all said and done, and there might be some hard feelings, there might be some strained relationship, but when it's all said and done, that one is going to appreciate you much more because you spoke the truth rather than just flattering them with the tongue and not telling them what need to be said. Flattery is manipulation, not communication, Mr. Worsby says. And what honest person would want to manipulate a friend? Look at Psalm 141, verse 5. As we think of faithful are the wounds of a friend. Psalm 141, verse 5 says, "Let the righteous smite me, and let him reprove me, and it shall be excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities." Let them say what needs to be said, and I'm going to be appreciative of it. Psalm 141, verse 5. The righteous one. This isn't the wicked, the ungodly, your enemy, but somebody who cares enough to tell you what needs to be said. Well, let's go on to verse 9 of our text, Proverbs 27, 9. "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel." The sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Here we find the writer of Proverbs is giving words of appreciation for genuine counsel, advice from a friend. Ointment and perfume, that's always pleasant, but so is hearty counsel from a friend. When a friend comes and says, "May I just share something? You know, I know you're thinking about this, I know you're considering that, and I've been giving it some thought, and I'd like to just share what I think about that with you." Again, Mr. Worsby, in his Bible study, his study Bible, said this: "Christian friends can listen, counsel, and pray. Heartfelt counsel is what we want, but sometimes a friend's counsel might not be perfume, right? It may be acid. Even then, we have nothing to lose. For as we're going to see a few verses later, we'll just jump and glimpse at another one of these. Notice in verse 17, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." And Mr. Wiersbe says, we have nothing to lose. As iron sharpens iron, a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Sparks may fly, but God will give us the light that we need. We need to remember, verse 6, faithful, building up, supporting are the wounds of a friend. And we might not be, even if we're disagreeable, we usually learn more by not disagreeing than by giving in and refusing to say what we really think, and that's to us. They might not agree with us. They might not appreciate it, but if it needs to be said, and they need to hear the counsel, we should speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. Look at Proverbs 15:22. It says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. We all need counsel from friends from time to time. Let's move on. Let's look at verse 10 as this friend topic continues. Thine own friend, there's the third reference to it, and thy father's friend, there's the fourth of six times, forsake not. Hang on to your friends. Forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother who is far off. Keep good friends. Cherish old friends. That's what he's saying here. Don't forsake your father's friends. If this has been a good family friend all these years, don't get to the point where you think, yeah, he's getting so old, she's losing it. I don't really appreciate, you know, every time I get around him, every time I get around her, they just, you know, they open their mouth and they say things and I just don't appreciate that so much anymore. And so we find here, he says, your own friend and your father's friend, excuse me, don't forsake them. Again, Mr. Wiersbe in his Bible his study Bible said this, accordingly to this passage, loyalty is a key ingredient in any friendship. Loyalty is a key ingredient in any friendship. If this one has been a friend of yours all these years, don't be so quick to toss them out if all of a sudden they do something, say something you just didn't really agree with or appreciate. Consider all the years. Consider all the time, how that friendship has grown over the years. Everyone wants and needs someone to count on, especially in difficult times. In Proverbs 17:17, it says, here's why we need friends. A friend loves or loveth at all times. Real friends, they're not going to toss you like a rotten potato. They're going to cherish your friendship. They're going to stick with you. A friend loves at all times. And yes, verse 6, sometimes because they love you, they might say something that causes some wounds. Don't pitch them out. Just stop. Why did they say that to you? Because they were wanting to hurt you, harm you? No, because they're your friend and they care for you. That's why they stuck their neck out and said what maybe you did not appreciate. But because you mean so much to them, and they're concerned about the direction your life may be heading, they took the chance and spoke what needed to be spoken. You see, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We saw that in our text verse in 18:24. He who has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Sometimes our friends do more for us in an emergency, Mr. Wiersbe says, than our relatives do. Why? Because sometimes our friends are where? Next door, two blocks over. But where's our relatives? Living over in Arizona, and we need some help right now. And sometimes our friends in an emergency can be much more helpful than even our relatives. He goes on and he says, this proverb also points out that loyalty ought to extend to our parents' friends. Longtime family friends can be a blessing from one generation to another. All right. As we think of that, let's look at number 5. And number 5 is found here in verse 14 of Proverbs 27. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, riseth early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. What does that mean? What's that pointing to? It's talking about insincerity. Insincerity. The one that blesses his friend with a loud voice. You know, insincerity isn't appreciated by anyone, especially from someone who is supposed to be your friend, saying things that you don't really mean. Blessing with a loud voice. You know, the first thing you see him in the morning. In 26:28, it says, a lying tongue hateth all those that are afflicted by it. And get this, a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Insincerity is never appreciated. I don't care how flowery the words may sound. If you don't mean them, save your breath, because the one you're dumping them on, they don't appreciate it. Save your breath. And we find here that flattering tongue isn't doing anybody any good. And then finally, that 17th verse, number 6, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. This one perhaps is the most easily illustrated and understood. Iron sharpeneth iron. What is this? What comes to your mind here? Anybody? What kind of iron sharpens iron? Pardon? Force? Pardon? Sword? No. Knife? Nope. There you go. A file. How many of you know what a file is? Of course we do. And what is the purpose of that file in your toolbox? That piece of steel, iron, whatever here, it has one purpose, and that is to rub and irritate that dull iron that it is put up against. If the iron, the file, is going to do any good, it's going to have to rub that dull knife, dull axe, dull shovel. It's going to have to irritate. It's going to have to even, you know, when a file, I'm not sure every lady has used files, but I'm sure every man has. What's that? Oh, it's right, nail files. Forgive me, ladies. Forgive me, that's right. Even a nail file, that little thing that you so skillfully, when you're all done, you look on the countertop and what's there? There is a pile of what? Powder? Little bit of, well, when you have, let's go to the men. You go in the garage and you've got a dull blade for your lawnmower and you get that blade in that vise and you start in dragging that file in the proper direction. When you're done, there is going to be a little pile of what? Iron shavings. It had to get rid of some of what wasn't so helpful to make it useful. Iron sharpeneth iron. So does a man, he sharpeneth the countenance of a friend. Proverbs 28:23 says, he that rebuketh a man afterward, we saw this a while ago, he that's willing to rub the file because of love is going to find more favor later than the one that flatters with the tongue. You see, speaking the truth in love, that's what needs to happen here. How can iron sharpen iron, how can a friend sharpen the countenance of a friend? Maybe things like being willing to be accountable. Being accountable to a friend. Hey, how you doing this morning? Did you read the scripture this morning when you got up? Did you have prayer before you went to work today? Oh, Pastor, that's personal. Well, you know what? Iron can sharpen. Iron, a friend can sharpen the countenance of another by keeping them accountable to help them, what? Improve in their walk with the Lord. A true friend is one who is not always going to be just simply saying what someone wants to hear. Sometimes a true friend has to say what must be said, even though it's not going to be appreciated at the time, but because I care, because you mean something to me. It takes courage to be truthful. And you know that as we've looked at these verses tonight. As we've gone through these six different things, I'm sure all of us have said, that takes some courage to be willing to do that. I sure hope I don't harm my friendship with. It takes courage to be truthful, and it takes courage to be honest. But what we've seen in these verses tonight in chapter 27, it pays off. Let's close in prayer as we stand, okay? Father, we've looked at some verses this evening that are a lot easier to talk about than practice. But I pray that you would help us to take these truths to heart. We don't take these truths home and tuck them away to harm and hurt people. Just blasting out words to hurt and tear and destroy. But the word faithful are the wounds. Faithful means to support and to build up. Help us learn the application of these truths, Lord, as we go through life, as we interact with our friends. Dismiss us with your blessing on us as we go our way. In your name I pray. Amen.